Welcome to Unity Talks, where the hiring experts of Dallas-based recruiting firm Unity Search engage in lively discussion with successful business leaders to dissect their careers and how they got to where they are today, the obstacles overcome to reach their success, and steps they've taken to stay at the top of their respective fields. So listen in as we provide you with a thought-provoking conversation and ideas that keep industries moving forward.
And welcome back to another edition of the Unity Talks podcast. I'm your host, David Cathy, and we are going to jump into this really quickly because as I've talked to our guests today, we always go overtime and we try to keep this podcast right around 30 minutes, plus or minus a few. And so I got to get rolling if we're going to get everything in that we want to. So our guest, Gus De Avilés. Gus, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
well,
we're super happy you're here. So Gus is the CEO and founder of Medics Infusion. And as you guys know, I always start off the podcast by letting our guests kind of do a little bit of an infomercial on what their company does. No better person than the founder and the CEO to do that. So Gus, tell us a little bit about what Medics Infusion does.
Sure. Medics is a hybrid infusion company, which doesn't mean a whole bunch to people outside of healthcare. But what it means at large is that we focus on basically administering high-end medications that are infusible or injectable, mainly for chronic diseases. So think multiple sclerosis, Crohn's, that type of stuff. And our main goal is to create access for patients in rural, underserved markets, you know, areas that where everybody else has overlooked. Mm-hmm. And if we can do well there, then we can do well anywhere.
So you have multiple locations all around Texas?
We do. So we operate across 5 states today, Texas, okay. Missouri, Kansas, Arizona, and Oregon. Probably about 7 more states in the pipeline for this year and next year. My staff's gonna be so excited about it. It's gonna be a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun and it's very rewarding as well. So it's been an interesting part of my journey, for sure.
Well, I love it that you overlooked underserved communities. I love that aspect. It just reminds me, just a few days ago, I was talking to one of the finance executives at Jefferson Dental Clinics, which also focuses in those exact areas. And I love companies that have a spotlight on that. That may not be their only customer, but there's definitely a spotlight because so often those communities don't get any light.
Well, I think purpose-driven organizations mean something. That's the only way I like running companies is if we have a purpose that I feel good about. And I think most of our employees get behind that, and I think it gives you a boost, right? Mm-hmm. Your employees' performance a little bit higher, everybody's a little bit more committed, as opposed to let's just go do it and make some money.
Exactly. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so as you guys know, the way we start this off, not only is a little quick infomercial about the company, but we also want to kind of level set where our guest is from before we jump into our topic. So I'm going to give you our 3 topics, and then I'm going to turn it over to Gus to tell us how he got here, specifically Dallas here. Okay, because there's a little bit of a story behind that. So these are going to be our 3 topics. Okay, number 1 is being intentional, including being intentional in your career. The second topic that we're going to unpack today is moves shouldn't always be about pay. So when you're taking a job move or you're looking to take a job move, it shouldn't always be about pay. And I think that probably ties into the intentionality that we'll talk about in 1. All 3 of these will tie in because the 3rd one we're going to unpack is success is resiliency. And sometimes you just have to be a little stubborn. So those are our 3 topics we're going to unpack. Before we get there, tell us how you ended up here, because you're not from Dallas originally.
I'm not. It was a little bit of a winding road. So I was born and raised in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. I'm half Brazilian, half German. But long story short, I went from surfing after school in Rio to somehow ending up in Dallas with allergies. but my dad was a software engineer. We got moved to Silicon Valley in 97 or thereabouts. Spent a couple years in California, and his company became Computer Associates, and they got relocated again to Plano. Back then they were moving headquarters to Plano, and just followed along, ended up here in Texas. I thought I was gonna go do sports medicine. In my dumb young mind, there were no sports medicine programs in any college or universities in Texas. So I thought the next move was to be in theater and film. And somehow I started going down that path. Eventually ended up in accounting. because I needed to pay the bills, and went to UNT, and they told me, if you want to be a rock star in something, go do accounting. I had no idea what it was. Said, let's go. And the rest, as they say, it's history. So
you made moving from California popular to Texas, California to Texas popular before it
became popular. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm so sorry.
I love that. And I'm giggling inside about the thought of going from sports medicine to theater, then all the way back to the polar opposite end in accounting.
Yeah. So somehow I decided that I didn't like people and I wanted to be in accounting doing spreadsheets all the time. But listen, it's part of the intentionality thing that we're going to talk about. If you take my young years out of the way and the whole theater and film kind of stint and sports medicine, whether it would be sports medicine or accounting, I knew that I wanted to run companies one day. And there was a certain path that I wanted to chart. And so every year it was about putting a dot on the map, so to speak. That's my target. And now how do I make my way out there?
Well,
so everything you do, getting you there.
I can tell you, I talk to accountants all day long. I've been doing that all day for 20 years.
I'm so sorry.
And as I told you, you're not the average accountant. You aren't anymore, although you still use those skills. And
a
they
lot.
Come in very handy in your role, which I'm sure you'll share. But just, you know, the personality and everything. So we're thrilled to have you on the show. All right. So let's get into the first one that we really want to unpack is being intentional, including in your career. And you had said, David, I've got to have a plan, or you've got to have a plan, and you got to execute on that. What does that mean?
From a career perspective, maybe that's the easiest way is to put it into that perspective. It helps that I'm ADD, and one of my ways to cope was always to have a checklist, right? If I'm going to work my way through a day, I needed to know exactly what I was doing. Otherwise, I get lost, and it's game over for everybody. But for my career specifically, I was fortunate. I had a good mentor early in my career that told me, if you want to get somewhere, you need to know what your end game is going to be for your career, given that may change every year. But that I should come up with what my target was and start charting a path for myself, right? And draft that down. How am I going to get there? So for me, I wanted to run a company one day. Okay, what does that mean? How do I get the skills that I need to one day be able to run a company? And what he also told me that I thought was great is that you should reassess that goal every year, because that's going to change based on your personal circumstances and how well or not you did in certain portions of your career. For instance, maybe I would have been a terrible accountant and the finance skills weren't in me. And maybe I should consider something where I would never have to rely on those skills, right? So every year I made it a point to, here's where I want to be. Here's my goal for the end of the year. And what are the things that I need to accomplish this year to get to the next step so I can keep building on that? So when I got into accounting, I said, okay, how do I use accounting as a stepping stool to take me to the next step and the next step and eventually have enough of the skills needed to be able to run a company, right, and do my own thing.
How old were you? Was this in college? Was this?
So this was someone I met in college.
Okay.
I was fortunate enough to do an internship at Grant Thornton. Mm-hmm. I ended up going to work with them. I've actually had several great mentors from Grant Thornton and then later in my career as well. But in my internship, one of the people that were basically supervising me in some of the engagements that you do as an intern, they just pulled me aside when I asked them, okay, how did you get to the step that you're in? And said, listen, this is how I did it. And it just resonated with me. I don't know if it was because of my ADD, right? And I was already used to doing a little checklist for myself every day, but it just made sense, right? And how can you get somewhere if you don't have a plan, right? You can't just drive across the nation and be efficient about it if you haven't charted your route. Well, nowadays we use Apple Maps and all the other stuff, but that was the concept and it just made sense to me. So I took it to heart. And I think it just helped me.
Yeah. I think that's such wise guidance. I was curious about when you got that, because it doesn't matter how old you are, you can start implementing that today.
Absolutely. Now, that doesn't mean I didn't make a bunch of mistakes along the way. I am not smart enough to learn from other people's mistakes, so I have to make my own. but there's some things that you start, you know, gathering along the way that help you. And that was one of them. I had to fine tune it, right? I thought you could jump from staff accountant to doing something else pretty quickly and not understanding that the skills that you need along the way take a little bit longer to develop. And for me, they take longer than most. Listen, I wasn't the smartest guy in public accounting that could come in and debits and credits and all the rules made sense. I always worked harder than everybody else. I like to think I was pretty dang good, but it just wasn't for me, right? It was kind of a step in the path that I had carved for myself, that I had planned for myself. But to the point about intentionality, everything I did in public accounting from that moment onwards was intentional. Whether it was a client that I enjoyed working with or not, whether it was an engagement I enjoyed or not, what am I going to do with this one to give me more skills that will serve me as I keep going and eventually, hopefully, had a chance to run a company. So I knew I needed the accounting and finance skills. I knew I needed to eventually develop sales skills and operational skills and strategic and all that type of stuff. But it was a good foundation, at least to understand how a business was supposed to operate. And I think that was a great thing about public accounting, mm-hmm. right? You get to see so much in such a compressed period of time, and through all your clients, you see the good and bad, yeah. right? So you have a chance, if you're intentional about it, to jot down the things to do and not to do, yeah. As you keep progressing. So,
well, when I think about that intent, first off, I love the way you actually already unveiled some steps that people, earlier you said a dot on the map, and then you used the word charting your path. And so you're already unveiling some steps that it was literally writing out, this is what I want to accomplish this year. And I'm assuming that at the end of the year, you have what you wrote, you stored it somewhere, and then you would go back and you go, okay, this is what my plan was. Did I hit it? Where did I miss? What can I? And that sets the stage for the next one. And that's just a
And you can do that compound. Every day, right? So I didn't realize it, but I was doing that already daily with post-it notes or whatever it may be for my to-do list for the day. This is what I need to be doing, and this is what I need to accomplish by the end of the day. Did I get there or not? And at the end of the day, taking an inventory about it. Mm-hmm. So once I started practicing more that advice about how do you chart your goal for the year, be intentional about everything you do. If it doesn't build towards that goal, don't do it. It's a waste of your time. But it's the same thing when you're running a company. Incidentally, we got to be intentional about the things that we do in the company. So for Medix, any of the revenue streams that we think about delving into, any of the states that we consider going into, either they're additive in helping us get to our end goal, or they're a waste of time and we shouldn't do it, right? And it just works. But I think there's some power into visualizing things, right? For me, I have to write them down. I have to see them. For some people, they can be just audible and be fine. But being able to go back to it at the end of the year, the end of the quarter, yeah. say, okay, well, hold on, this is what I wanted to do. What am I doing? You get lost in the moment, right? When you're growing through your career, you're so in the weeds and it's easy to lose focus and you're no longer intentional. You're just waking up every day, especially in public accounting, and going, oh my God, I'm gonna go to the grind again and I gotta go get these work papers done so I can go to the next engagement. And the same thing happens in industry, right? So having something to look back to and say, okay, let me reevaluate what I did today and what I'm doing. Does it help? Are there lessons here that I'm not paying attention to because I'm too in the weeds and I'm no longer intentional? So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. It reminds me, you know, there's a journal that it's a line a day journal and it has 5 years for one day. So you can look back on the previous 5 years of what you wrote on January 1st, January 2nd, January 3rd. And so I've got to believe, you know, whether it's you're making these daily, weekly, like you said, you could, whatever time frame you want to do it on. Did you have like, oh yeah, I can see what mine was, you know, when I was a junior at UNT and when I was a third year at Grant Thornton?
Weirdly enough, I have some. We just moved homes not too long ago, and a lot of my old boxes of stuff were there and a lot of my notes were there. And it's fun going back and going, oh yeah, that's what I aim to do. I did it. Great. Oh, I forgot to do this.
Yeah.
Is it so relevant, right? But it's fun to look back and see what worked and what didn't, and remind yourself of how you got here. Because I think a lot of people eventually take it for granted, right?
Yeah.
I'm a CEO today. I was a CFO. I was a COO. But it wasn't because I'm magically better than anyone else. I'm not.
Yeah.
Right. And I think if you don't look back, you kind of take those things for granted, that you were given an opportunity to do this and to lead.
Yeah. Well, those are really wise words, because I think a lot about minding the gap. And when I think about the gap, we spend so much time pushing forward, pushing forward, pushing our companies forward, pushing my sales business, my accounting career, my finance career. And we're always facing these, and we'll get to it, obstacles, adversity, and all that other stuff. We're always facing that stuff. Sometimes we need to turn back and look at the gap of where we started and how far we've come.
Yeah, and
for sure. You know, we got to recognize that. We got to give ourselves a pat on the back. Like, we don't look at that gap often enough, because it's just onward soldiers.
Absolutely. And it's true when you're leading a company or a team or anything else, right? The tendency is you're focusing on the things you're not doing well. You get very caught up in the failures sometimes, and it's common in companies to do so. And it's that concept of celebrating the small victories, if it takes, right? But you got to remind yourself there's victories in everything you're doing, and there's knowledge in every failure. I learned the most out of my failures, out of the tough engagements in public accounting, out of the terrible private equity experiences, and it makes your ability to navigate the good times better too, right? So I can perform better for my current investors because I went through some that weren't so great.
Yeah.
You know, and you learn how to deal with the dynamics, but also be accountable. What is your part in it?
Yeah.
And then you go back to your map and say, okay, what am I doing, to your point, to mind the gap and also fill in the skills that are missing to get there. So again, you have to be intentional about it. You don't do it haphazardly.
Yep.
You don't wake up one day and accidentally, you know, chart a course to be a CEO or to start a nonprofit or whatever it may be. And so I think every day waking up and realizing, I got to come up with a plan. What is my plan for today? What is my plan for the month? As a CEO, a lot of the times what I'm doing is, what is the plan for next year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years? Mm-hmm. What is the evolution that I need to chart for the company? And now how do you bring it back into the everyday life and make sure that the things that we're doing today are leading you there, right? And I think for the career, it was the same thing.
Yeah.
So accounting was a means to an end, you know, public accounting especially. It's one of the best learning grounds that I've ever found. And I think you see that today too, with there's a batch of CEOs coming into the market that have, you know, CPA and public accounting backgrounds. And I think that's great.
So here's what's interesting. You alluded to this. You said, you know, you started your career in accounting, but you knew if I wanted to run a company, which you did, you knew that one
yeah.
day.
Yeah.
I had to get sales. I had to get marketing. I had to get some of these other things.
Yeah.
So how did you intentionally pursue sales and marketing and some of these other skill sets that
sure.
weren't inbred in you when you were at UNT or at Grant?
Well, I think number one, there's skills that all of us have that we're innately good at and some that we're not, right? So part of it, I wanted to focus on the things that I wasn't good at. Accounting wasn't a natural thing for me. So it was a natural thing in my mind to focus on first and make sure that I can knock that out and get the basics. But it was from my internship days already at Grant. I was focusing on going out there and finding new clients. Somehow I convinced a energy trading company at that point that they needed to get audits by Grant for some reason.
Really?
And so, you know, I think it's never too early or too late to do one thing, but it was intentional, right? On my spare time, I was out networking, not just calling it a day and going drinking with my buddies. And I was practicing a pitch. You know, it sounds dumb, but it's that role-playing thing. And so eventually I knew that once I was far enough in accounting and I got how to analyze financials and be able to get P&Ls and performance in front of me and identify the issues right away, that I was ready to do something else. So in my head, I needed to go from finance to ops. In ops, it would give me a little bit of a chance to work more on sales, but also to understand the other side of the business. And if I got good enough at that and I could prove to myself that I could lead and manage, then I'll try my hand at hopefully being a CEO one day. And it just worked out. I was lucky that it did. I think there's always a component of luck, but it's also the resiliency part, right? Because there was a ton of failures mm-hmm. along the way and a lot of moments that make you think, should I keep going or not? And you got to be stubborn enough to just keep pushing through.
You know, something you said just reminded me of the story of J.J. Redick and Kobe Bryant. And J.J. Redick was coming into professional basketball from Duke University. And everybody knows Mamba mentality, Kobe Bryant, yeah. You know, how crazy, you know, 3 a.m. in the morning, yeah. And I'm going crazy in the gym. But he was so intentional about his career, and the best of the best are. Skills-wise, they may not be the best. Kobe happened to be. But they'll also outwork you, which is something you That's don't it. Have to have the best skills in the world, but you can outwork you. And that story that J.J. Redick told was they were on USA basketball on the Olympic team. And Kobe says, hey, after practice, you know, Kobe's been in the league and J.J.'s coming into the league. And Kobe yeah. says after practice, hey, why don't we stick around and shoot a little bit? And so they did together and they're shooting. And then it dawned on J.J. because he's watching Kobe and Kobe is studying him. And he's studying his tendencies.
Oh, yeah.
And he's studying everything that he does, how he shoots, where his release point is, because he knows, A, I need to get the ball to the guy on my team where he likes it best so he can make shots, and B, when I'm guarding him, I'm gonna shut him down. And it was just that intentionality of just doing the extra work. You talked about somehow I convinced, you know, a client that was in trading that mm-hmm. they needed to be audited and, you know, and it's just going that extra mile. I didn't go out and party with the guys at Grant all the time, maybe a few times, but for the most yeah. part, I was doing something else with that intentionality to lead me on that path. And I use that analogy. Sports is often a metaphor for life. We've heard that forever.
Yeah.
And we look at the greatest of the great. And the reason we do that is because we can learn so many lessons about their intentionality to become better.
I think it's spot on. And it goes back to even college days. Right, all my friends were out partying, and I was getting ready to try to do better so I could get recruited or potentially get through the interview process for an internship, because I wanted to achieve a certain goal. And I think that's the point, right? You have to. There's no easy path. There's no shortcuts. I haven't found one, or at least not one that is lasting. I think everybody knows someone who did very well. And they didn't have to put a bunch of work into it, but it doesn't last, right? And everybody that I've ever met that is hyper successful, however you define it, the one common thread is always work. You put in the work. So drives my family insane, my friends insane, because there is no time off for me, right? There's no time that I'm not engaging in some way to get better. It may be that I'm listening to a podcast. It may be that I'm reading a new book. It may be that I am networking with people when I should be out just having fun. And I think being able to marry both eventually helped me out a lot, right? How do I marry my personal life and fun with this? And I think that concept is often not talked about, right? Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to be the person. No one wants to put in the work. But everybody that I've ever met that achieved any decent level of success put in the work, and it doesn't stop. Right, and I think the moment you think you arrive, that you're there and you don't have to work anymore, you fall off.
Yeah.
And I'm terrified of that. So part of what motivates me is I'm terrified of failing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to fail my family, my employees, my patients, and I'm competitive, right?
Yeah.
And I think you have to be in your own way if you're going to get there, but you got to push through.
Yeah.
And I think those are the moments that test you.
Yeah.
Right? So same thing for a Kobe, a Michael, or whomever, you're gonna go through times where you think you're not gonna be able to make it. If you're an entrepreneur, you're definitely gonna go through times where you don't know that you're gonna pay your employees, right? You're not gonna make payroll. And how do you stay up the extra hours and put in the work to make sure that you do?
Yeah.
You know, what are the things that you can do that are under your control to be able to get there? And I think so long as you have a course charted and you're intentional, it gets easier. Because otherwise you're just scrambling, right? You're putting out fires. That's the other reason to have a roadmap, right?
That's
to be intentional about it. Because when the tough times come, you go back and you rely on the map that you drew for yourself. And if you trust it, if you're stubborn enough to see it through, I think that's when you get success. That's the difference between some, and we talked a little about it, right? People may see you as stubborn, and others with a different perspective are gonna say you're resilient. And the only difference, I think, is whether or not it's stuck around long enough to see it through the end. So,
well, you know what? We're gonna go there right now. That was our number three, if people are counting at home. You know, we're gonna go there right now anyways, is the success is resiliency and being stubborn. I'm gonna cap off that first one because I think our audience knows we could keep going forever.
And my ADD is not gonna help you.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Well, here's the thing. You've learned to harness that ADD to get you where you are, right? You needed that, you recognized that early on. But here's the thing, like to cap off that first one, you know, I've heard it put like this. You know, when you're going white water rafting, you can either drift or you need to have a design. And the guide that's sitting in the back, he's mapping it out. He is looking 3-4 steps in front of where you're at right now. He's looking around the bend, because if you drift, there's a potential that you die in white water rafting.
For sure.
And so, do you want your career to drift? Do you want your life to drift? Or do you want to design it, or at least have a hand in that design?
And I think that's a good point, right? Because it's not like you're not going to deviate from your plan. It will happen. That's the only constant. Things are going to change, and you've got to be able to pivot. But if you're thinking 3-4 steps ahead, you have a lot more time to react and pivot.
That's right.
Right?
And that's right.
So I think that's a great point.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so we're going to jump right to it. Success is resiliency and being stubborn, because we've already bumped up against that time. That's how fast it's gone here. So
crazy.
We want to go to that third one. So tell me a little bit about that, because you alluded to it just a few minutes ago. We're all going to face that adversity in our career. And sometimes you just got to be dang stubborn to get through it.
Yes, but also I think being introspective enough eventually to look back, right? So there are times that you're stubborn and you're not doing it for the right reasons. And I was guilty of that early in my career, right? When I left Grant, I'll give you that example. That was one of my failures. I thought that because Grant was changing, they were getting bigger and things were changing, that the culture is not what it needed to be. And I didn't have the resiliency to see it through. And the issue was me. I wasn't willing to change. And you needed to, right? But with resiliency, I think part of what you have to realize, you have to be adaptable as well. So that doesn't mean be so stuck in your ways that you can't see anymore the forest from the trees, right? But once you realize those things and you're aware of them and you're being introspective, if you did your homework, right? If you believe the things that you believe in your thesis, then it's not being stubborn. It's just you're coming from a place of education and you're seeing it through. But understanding that tough times will come and you just gotta plow ahead and put your head down. And there was many of those moments in my career. I've been fortunate enough to be involved with a few startups, and those are the toughest, right? Because you go through everything. I've been fortunate enough to go through public accounting and some private equity owned companies and all of that. But in those startups, you inevitably run into those moments. And I think the stubbornness and the seeing it through is not just for you, right? Especially if you want to lead, right? And for me, eventually was, I wanted, for whatever reason and ego or whatever it may be, I wanted to run a company. I needed to learn then how to lead people through those moments as well. And I think that's the toughest. And if you don't have the resiliency yourself, you're not going to convince anyone else to do it, right? So it's not just about putting your head down and being stubborn and doing it, but how do you do it with the right attitude, right? Because people are not going to follow you if you're falling apart, you're negative. And I think there's always that thing about entrepreneurs that at the surface, you're just a duck, right? And underwater, you're moving and no one knows what's happening. Okay. And I think the ability to juggle those things and just push ahead matters a lot. Public accounting, it's a grind, right? And I think that's a great training ground, not just from a foundational accounting and finance perspective, but on resiliency, right? It's can you make it through? Can you make it to senior? Can you make it to manager? Can you move up a little bit more? And it's, to me, it was less about that journey of moving up, and it was more about, can I get to the next step? Can I learn the next whatever bucket of skills? But can I be resilient enough to actually survive and make it there? And eventually the same thing applies in industry. But you got to do it for the right reasons, right? We talked also a little before about, it's not just about the money,
yeah.
Right? And so the resiliency is also recognizing what is going to be the best path for your career to get you where you need to be.
That's right.
And sometimes it's staying put in a place where it's giving you the most learning and the skills that you need to get to whatever your end goal is, rather than jumping ship and getting that bump in pay that eventually is not going to pay off.
Yeah.
Right? So a lot of my colleagues I had left and taken much higher paying jobs before I did, or chased down a different path early on because it was the easiest path to money. They are nowhere close to me nowadays, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them worked for me. And so I think part of that is being resilient, but knowing what your plan is.
That's right.
Right, and being resilient just for the sake of it with no plan, you're just surviving. You're not getting anywhere.
Yeah, the interplay between all three, but really what we've talked about is designing your path and having that stubbornness. If you're just stubborn for stubborn's sake, that's not good. But if it's stubborn towards this is my path, and there are going to be bumps along the road, and sometimes, yeah, maybe you have to take a little jog to the left or a jog to the right.
Yeah.
But you have a stubbornness knowing that you have belief in yourself to make this happen.
You did the work.
You did the work. You know that you have the right people on the bus who is your team that you can be successful. Mm-hmm. Then it's figuring out when to be empathetic for our team, when to push the team, when to bring the energy for the team. And trying to fit, and sometimes, hey, here's the reality. Sometimes the team wants you to be empathetic, but you need to drive the bus at this point in time. You face those situations and you got to make that call.
And I think that's one of the traps that you fall into if you move jobs just for money, because you end up skipping the opportunities to learn those skills, right? A lot of us are tempted to take a job with a higher title and higher pay way before we're ready to. And we're not introspective enough to say, okay, number one, I'm not ready for it. Number two, it doesn't play to my plan because I'm jumping all these steps to give me the skills that I had agreed to myself I needed get here, right? So I think if you break it down from a rational perspective, it makes no sense. Yet we do it all the time and our friends do it all the time. And then they come back to us and ask, well, how come you made it to CEO and I didn't, right? Or how come you're so successful and by my definitions, I'm nowhere close to you, whatever their definitions may be. And it goes back to, well, I was doing all this work and I was intentional about following this path that I charted when you were frolicking around or, you know, just jumping around and taking the pay. And so I think that's that interplay between intentionality and having a map and how it plays out on, do you take a job just for more pay or not?
It's so critical because, I create an analogy with a mountain, right? Because there's the summit of the mountain. So a lot of times people see the leader at the summit on the mountain and they're starting in their career and they're looking up on that mountain and they're like, man, I want to get up there. But they didn't see the work in the dark that you did. They didn't see the switchbacks. They didn't see the valleys that you were in, that you had to go in order to scale the next 1,000 feet to get up towards that. You know, they often, I'm going to try to continue this because I want to work this pay in there. They often say, you know what, I want to take that helicopter or where's the elevator to get up there, which is the shortcuts of I'm going to make this move for this pay. I'm still going to get there, but I want to get paid over here. And they're always looking for those shortcuts. And sometimes, you know, in our job and what we do, but I don't want to say our job because every job has this. People will look at you and they're like, man, I want to do that. You know, it's easier for Gus to make this decision on the finances of an organization. But they don't see all the times that you failed and got the wrong decision. Yeah. they just think that you keep getting it right and they want that. And it's like as if it's magical, and it's not.
Well, it goes into other topics that maybe you're going to discuss in other podcasts, but it comes down to what does it say about us as leaders in companies nowadays and coaching or lack thereof? Because a lot of this is us not pouring into our people and coaching them on the lessons that we learned, right? Because we can pull the curtain back and let them see it. But most don't want to do it, right? I try to be different at Medics, and I think a lot of our people do differently at Medics. But again, it's an intentional thing. And I think the other side of that, aside from, okay, there's coaching here that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Maybe we just do people a disservice. But do we even know how to chart a course, right? Like, it's, I wonder how much of this comes from the foundation that we don't have, right? Are we learning the things that we need to learn nowadays in business school and through our internships and the early stages in our careers to set up our peers correctly? But to your point, yeah, a lot of people will look at you and say, hey, I want that. We all were guilty of that at some point, because part of that is maturity, right?
Time in the saddle.
Exactly.
Yeah, just being there, having to go through it, so.
But again, if someone taught me early on to be intentional, if someone taught some of my peers and employees early on to be intentional, and this is how you can at least safeguard yourself from some of those decisions, I think it would help a lot more professionals out there.
Gus, I'm gonna tell our guy here that we need like an hour and a half more. No, we're not. We gotta like cut it off at some point in time.
Yes.
So, all right. So last thing, we're gonna end on this, okay?
And toughest question.
You've given some great ones along the way that I'm like, well, we should do this. So we should. Someone wants to start tomorrow to be intentional, whether it's whether it's one of these three topics, or maybe it's not even these three topics. It's, hey, if I had to start over tomorrow, this is what I can tactically, practically do tomorrow to get my career back on the track that I need it on.
Honestly, I think I would go back to charting your course. What is your goal? Where do you want to be 10 years from now? At the end of your career, whatever it may be, what are the steps I need to get there without a chronology necessarily in place? And then you work yourself into, okay, what can I do today in the job that I'm in the next job that I'm going to take? What are the skills that I need to get here? And sometimes your goal may be as simple as, I want to make sure I have a stable enough job where it's safe, secure, and I provide for my family, which is perfectly fine. I would still chart a course, because I would want to know what are the skill sets and the needs that I have versus the needs of my employers, so I can be valuable enough long term to where my job is going to be safe, right? What are the things I got to do to safeguard my position? So you can think about it as a career path, or whatever end goal may be, but to me starts with charting a path, having your checklist, whatever it may be, so long as it's intentional, and that drives that, right? I think the exercise will get you to intentionality. So
wow, that is so good.
I don't know about that.
It is so good, and I'm not going to touch that. That's what I would have selected out of the things that we talked about. Is I love that charting your path and the intentionality. Where do I want to be in 5, 10 years, next year? And just writing that down. And you said something, you glossed over it quickly. I want to go back to it. I've always heard, and I think I heard this on the Huberman Labs podcast, that there's something about you seeing your goals written in your own handwriting that resonates better with people, humans, than just texting yourself or typing it into a computer. Something about seeing your own handwriting with your own stated goals. So I love that. I think that is where we should end. And to our audience, thank you so much for joining us week after week on our podcast. And to Gus, man, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your time today.
It's been fun. Thank you.
To our audience, until next time, we'll see you down the line.
If you're looking for the next step in your career or the missing piece for your team, Unity Search has you covered. Whether it's finance and accounting, tax services, information technology, or human resources, Unity Search is here for you with experienced and dedicated hiring professionals. Reach out today and take the next step. Unity Search, placing you first.